Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am corporate jobber Pete Quinnell, and today I'm joined by Randy, Andy Datsun.
Hi, Chopper. How are you today?
I'm all right, mate. I'm still very, very tired. I am one tired boy, but I've got a three-day weekend coming up, so hopefully can get a nice bit of rest. I say, it is three-day weekend, because I've got tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday off. Crazy.
Well, I learned this week how important sleep is because I was talking to my personal trainer and he said, the time that you gain most muscle is when you are deepest in your sleep. And I was like, that's probably why I didn't gain anything when my girlfriend was staying with me. Because she, no, not because of that. Because she moves so much when she sleeps that I sort of sleep in bursts of about an hour and a half.
I'm pretty sure that we started off with the exact same complaint on last week's episode of you complaining about your girlfriend sleeping in the same bed as you.
Yeah, she's the worst.
Okay.
So yeah, I didn't get any weight that week. And then this week I gained weight because she's not here. Because I've been sleeping better. Obviously, I love her very much.
That's what it means.
So clearly it's working. But anyway, should we talk about Seth Rollins, who is a daddy now?
Yes, we should. He returned on SmackDown. But what next for him? Because there wasn't like a huge angle or anything for him, but there was an angle. So what does it mean? What's next for Seth? Let's talk about it. The first thing we're going to be talking about today is this Seth angle, because it was built up last week. We got a video package that was played twice, showcasing all of Seth Rollins' big highlights in his career and all the things he's done, and Royal Rumbles and WWE and Universal Champion and look at Seth, he's great. Really good video package, but it was played twice last week, and it was played twice on this episode as well. The same one, like at least mix it up a little bit would have been great, but sure.
It was a good video.
It was. It was a great video package, but when you watch it four times, it really starts to lose its effect. Anyway, it came out and they played the video package for the fourth time in 2 weeks. And they said, his return next. And then they showed all of the locker room. All of them came out to surround the ring. And I was like, what is happening? Why is everyone out there? If it was like, for starters, this isn't a precedent. Like, when someone returns from leave, everyone comes out to congratulate them back. That's not a precedent in WWE anyway. If it was someone like Roman Reigns returning from his leukemia, great. Could totally understand everyone coming out to welcome him back. This is Seth Rollins. Everyone hates him. In kayfabe, like, he's one of the least popular people on the entire roster. There's no reason for any of them to be out there.
So, I get that. And I understand that. However...
Mm-hmm.
However, I think I get what they were trying to do, because as his gimmick is that he is the savior of Friday mm-hmm. nights, and he is the Monday Night Messiah when he was back on Raw. It felt like he was giving a sermon to uh-huh. his people, and uh-huh. therefore he needed some kind of congregation, almost like a vicar.
Giving.
I know, and I get that they hate him, but also because he's returning, they're like, oh, and he also he started the promo as if he was like, hey, man, I'm back. I'm a father now. I see things differently. There's lots of talented people here. So he may well have, in kayfabe, said to them, look, I'm different now, guys. I've changed. Look, I really want you to come out, hear what I've got to say.
Yeah.
And almost like a sort of preacher speaking to his people. And then you sort of see them go like, oh, he's being nice. And then he turns and they go, oh, okay. Well, screw that guy. I mean, I don't want to listen to this anymore. So I really do get the framing.
Yes.
But without explanation, it just looked like, here's everyone.
Yes, that's the key bit that was missing, was the explanation, because I like that idea that he was giving a sermon to everyone. And I would have liked to have seen, even if it was just like, you see the odd person backstage with like this envelope that just says like, Seth Rollins invites you to return sermon or whatever the hell they want to do it. Just a little something that takes like 10 seconds to do would have just made the segment feel a bit more organic, because this one felt a bit forced. But I did like what happened next, though, because Seth came out with his old music. Burn it down, everybody. That's back. Which I'm kind of happy, because I like the Burn It Down theme. I really liked his old one, though. I really think I know everyone hated it, but I loved his Messiah theme. It just fits so perfectly with his gimmick. And that to me is much, much more important than having a good song, is having something that fits your character. Like, stuff like Rusev's theme and Jack Swagger's theme, Aleister Black's, like stuff like that just fits and just works. Yeah, even like Alberto Del Rio, you know, his theme when he was in WWE, I know he's a terrible person, but his theme for his gimmick just fit like perfectly for what he was, even though it's not, you know, I'm not going to stick it on my Spotify and listen to it, but it was amazing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about Burn It Down coming back.
Yeah, I guess I don't worry about it as much. But it's just, given that his gimmick is the same as it was before, it is strange to, again, maybe they change it next week and they go, because it was just him being like, hey, look, I'm Seth again. I'm the guy you missed when I was away off having my baby with Becky Lynch and stuff. Which, by the way, should have been how he did his promo.
By saying that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Seth. You missed me.
Hey.
Remember when I had that baby with Becky Lynch and stuff?
Yeah.
Waka waka. No, but like, So the story was a bit weird, and the music might be a bit strange, but I think actually seeing him back, I sort of realized that I have missed him.
Me too.
Because other than Roman, the top heel on SmackDown, well, you've got sort of Jey Uso, but the top heel on SmackDown has sort of been Baron Corbin, and you got Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
So I have missed like a legitimate like sort of main star who we can have a secondary storyline with.
Yes.
And I don't think I quite realized how well I think a Messiah versus an eventual Messiah versus tribal chief feud could work, because they're not similar gimmicks, but they're both sort of like, I'm the greatest and I'm the greatest. There can be that clash, and because they've got the obvious history, there's so much that this return can do. And in a weird way, I think the real life birth of Seth's child can really work into this new sort of, because he's the Messiah and there's a whole sort of the child and the prodigal son. Obviously, it's a daughter, but. I think there is so much more of Seth's character we haven't seen. And now that we're probably getting him feuding with Cesaro, which, Pete, you can explain in a second, I just think that I don't want Cesaro to lose the feud, because he will, because it's Seth Rollins, but this could be like a really great feud to remind us all how brilliant he is in the ring, because obviously he was sort of stuck in that Mysterio feud for so long that we need to remind ourselves what Seth Rollins can do.
Exactly, yeah. And yeah, I think you probably skipped a couple of steps in the promo there. Mm. So let's talk about what actually happened. So Seth came out with his old music, came out to the ring and started doing this little sermon to everyone gathered around the ring. And it started off kind of like a babyface promo, just being like, yeah, I'm so happy to be back in the Thunderdome. I've really missed it here. As all of you guys know, you know, I've been away. I've had a daughter now and she's completely like changed my life. I never thought I could, you know, love someone so much. And, you know, I'm a different person now. And, you know, the people at ringside, I thought it was really nice that they cut to a shot of Daniel Bryan clapping when he said, I've had a daughter now. So I'm like, he's also a dad.
Yeah,
hey, I get it. I like the symbolism. I get it. And then of course he just flipped a switch and went right back to his heel shtick. And he's just like, you know, she's given me a completely different perspective on my life. And that perspective is that I am the leader that SmackDown needs to take it all to the next level. I can be a father to the locker room. I was like, that's good. I enjoy that a lot. And he was saying, it seems to be his new catchphrase now is embrace the vision. It was on his Titantron, and he ended the promo saying that as he flipped into his heel shtick, though, everyone from ringside, the lights were like dimmed. So I guess he couldn't see around them, even though we could. Everyone just kind of piled out and just went to the back. They were like, oh, for God's sake, Seth's the same again. They all went to the back, except for Cesaro. Lights came up and Seth looked around to be like, where did everybody go? What? That's a shame. Then saw Cesaro and he was like, hey, I knew you would get what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm trying to do with my vision here. And Cesaro just shakes his head and just like, no, and just walks off slower than everyone else. Everyone else is piled out at this point. So it's just Cesaro left, gets to the ramp, stops, looks back at him again and just walks out. But then that ticks off Seth Rollins, who gets out the ring, attacks Cesaro from behind, beats him up, and then just leaves. Daniel Bryan comes out to save him because they're in a tag match later on, of Bryan and Cesaro versus people, which we'll get to later. And then, yeah, Seth just left, and that was that. So I don't think it was the huge, whoa, Seth's back angle that people were expecting, but I'm all for a Seth Rollins-Cesaro feud. Fresh babyface Cesaro going against Rollins should be one. Bloody fantastic in the ring, because both of them are very good wrestlers. And also, I'm really hoping that this kind of solidifies Cesaro as kind of a more top babyface. I don't want Rollins to just... The thing is, Rollins is almost certainly going to win this feud, because he's just came back. He's, unfortunately, a bigger star than Cesaro. He's probably going to win. I think the way he wins the feud will determine Cesaro's fate. If he just beats him, like... They have a match next week and Seth wins and that's that. That's going to be really anticlimactic and terrible. If they have a proper feud and Cesaro looks really good, maybe they have a singles match at Fastlane or something, I don't know. And Cesaro puts on an amazing performance and gets so close to winning, but Seth like cheats to win or something. Then that's like, oh no, Cesaro's great. But Seth just managed to eke out with his, you know, his experience, even though Cesaro is a veteran as well, but you get what I mean.
I think that the Fastlane match makes the most sense, because I think it would be a bad idea just to have Cesaro lose next week, just 2 days before the Elimination Chamber. But that's not to say they won't do that, because they've done that in the past. I can't see Cesaro winning. I don't know who I've got in the Elimination Chamber. Maybe Daniel Bryan.
We'll talk about the chamber later.
But I think having Cesaro sort of have an actual feud where maybe he doesn't come to sort of, they don't butt heads quite yet, but wait till after Elimination Chamber. Maybe Cesaro has a match next week and Seth gets involved, or vice versa. I'm really interested to see what happens, because we're in for a lot of good wrestling. But like you said, it's the story. Interestingly, embrace the vision is also what Wanda Maximoff says. There you go. That's a pop culture reference for you there.
Haven't seen WandaVision yet. Still not got Disney Plus. So
no, it just doesn't actually say. That's just because she's married to Vision.
Yeah, she's married to Vision. Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah, well done. Overall, though, I thought it was quite good. Quite effective as a return. It wasn't like a, whoa, shock return. As announced returns go, it was pretty good. Because a lot of the time they'll be like, they're coming back next week, and then they'll come back next week and they'll have a match. And you go, cool. this, at the very least, it set up a feud, it put over his character and reminded you, oh yeah, this is the Messiah Seth Rollins, this is what he's about. Yeah. That was pretty good. Pretty good overall. And I'm excited for Rollins Cesaro if we get that.
Yeah, and they're putting over Cesaro strong. We'll talk about the main event later, but like he got the win. So it feels like at the very least that they're gonna give him a good fair go. They're not just gonna have him get squashed. Because then that would parry the rest of the roster. If
you didn't. Until Vince changes his mind again about Cesaro and just says, nah, he's not worth anything, and then he'll just lose.
Yeah.
Which is totally possible.
He's not American.
Yeah, crazy, right? His name is Tony.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you've not been over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, patreon.com/WrestleTalk. WrestleTalk Extra has gone live over there, which means you get to listen to Ollie and Luke review St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which is the debut of the Big Show in WWF, and that cage match where Big Show comes out from the ring and chucks Stone Cold into the cage, and then Stone Cold wins that show. So they get to review that, and you can listen to that right now if you're a $5 backer. If you're a $25 backer, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets ran out on a show, much like this one. So thank you to Vito Ventura, Pet Detective. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
V-A-N-A-N-A-S. Hannah Bananas!
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. The Fitness Consiglieri, Scott Michel. Woo! Thank you.
Super Kick Party, Andy Buckley.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. Have a glass of sherry, Martel J. Simmons. Woo!
I will. Robin Banks, Lee Roberts.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. The Harbinger, Doom Lion.
Oh, yeah. Full of flavour, Sean Blanford.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Woo. Oh, yeah, we are.
Thank you.
Moving sideways, Kieran Crabtree.
Hell yeah, thank you very much. The Shrockmaster, Austin Shrock.
Yeah. Thank you. And finally, Marcus, he's got soul, Campbell. I almost called him Marcus Cole for some reason.
Thank you very much. Thank you to all our pledgehammers. Let's talk about the rest of the show. Which started off because it's a SmackDown episode. So it started with Roman Reigns, of course. Came out with Jay and Paul. It came out to the ring. Adam Pearce was already waiting in the ring with a contract in hand, presumably for something about the Elimination Chamber. Makes a lot of sense. After they come in, Reigns cuts a very quick promo about Edge, just being like, I can't believe he's waiting. What a doofus. Because Edge said on Raw, he didn't say that, funnily enough, because Edge said on Raw that he's going to wait until after Chamber to see where the dust settles, and then he'll make his choice, which makes sense. Yeah. Like, do that at the start. You know how we said last week, how about I really don't like inorganic ways to drag out the announcements. Just say when you're going to announce it. Just be like, well, I'm actually going to wait until after Chamber to see who the champions are. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, cool. Or I'm going to wait until after Fastlane because that's the show. Because
yeah.
What if, I don't know, he picks Blob like Roman, and then Roman loses to Chad Gable, and yeah. It's like, oh, okay, well, damn it, I should have gone for Chad Gable rather than going, yeah. It exactly. Makes sense. So like you say, don't have the week beforehand of them going,
Yeah, exactly. Or them just having really convoluted ways to not make an announcement for some reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, Adam Pearce is there saying that in the contract, Roman Reigns will defend his Universal Championship inside the Elimination Chamber, much like Drew McIntyre does on Raw for the WWE Championship. And Roman's just like, yeah, no. Essentially, yeah. was the gist of the promo. He just starts laughing and he's just like, no, Paul, you want to take this one? Paul Heyman gets in, cuts a great promo. I don't know what it is about Paul Heyman, just the way he's portraying this character. It's not the same as he is with Brock, but it's starting to get elements of it. I feel like he's becoming more confident in his role with Roman, so that he's changing his character slightly. And on this one, he knew exactly what he needed to say and what he needed to do. And he came in, he was just like, hey, Adam Pearce, I'm Paul Heyman. I'm special counsel for Roman Reigns. It was like, obviously he knows that, but just putting over like Paul's official character kind of thing was great. And him just saying that actually what's going to happen is that you can put whoever you want in the chamber. Whoever wins that will then get a Universal Championship match with Roman Reigns immediately after that match. Because they're contractually obliged to have the Universal Championship defended at Elimination Chamber. Makes total sense. But it doesn't say anything about the championship having to be defended inside the chamber. So we're just going to have a singles match with the winner of the chamber. And he was saying, well, what are you going to do about it? You're going to fire Roman Reigns this close to WrestleMania? All of them just like proper like yuck it up. Just be like, this guy can't do anything against us. We're great. It was really effective. I thought it was great. It sort of makes sense. Obviously, there's a loophole. There's probably no contractual obligation for the Universal Championship to be defended at Elimination Chamber, but I can buy it if there was one. Sure.
So is my understanding is that the moment the Elimination Chamber match finishes, there will be a Universal Championship match.
Yes.
So basically, Roman can come out and just kill whoever's spent half an hour, 40 minutes in the ring.
Exactly. Yes.
Which is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice bit of storytelling. And normally I don't like these kind of, oh, well, there was a loophole in the contract which it didn't read storyline. But this works somehow. I don't know whether it's just because it's Roman Reigns. Interestingly, I don't know if you were listening, or I'm sure you were, but Paul Heyman originally went, oh, whoever wins the match gets a Universal Championship. And
yes,
then he realizes he's going, oh crap, no, that's not what happened. Right. 3 minutes later, they'll get a Universal Championship match. And then everyone's like, oh right, that's what he meant. Okay.
Yeah.
But no, it's really clever.
Yeah.
And then Adam Pearce kind of goes, look, well, do you know what? So all right, that's fine. Okay, you can do that, you can have the match afterwards. Speaking of the match, I've decided there are two people who don't need to qualify. They've earned their place. One of them is Jey Uso. So really interesting to see what happens there. Because if Jey Uso wins, is he just going to lie down for Roman? Or, which I think would be a really... I think Jey Uso should win for that story.
Okay, there's a hot take.
But... And then he says, oh, and also, because of what happened at the Rumble, they're sort of buying into that whole... Oh, there was a referee botch at the Royal Rumble. Kevin Owens is going to be in it. And at that point, it's where Roman just sort of snaps, leaves the ring, just goes right into Adam Pearce's face and goes, I think you understand. I don't care who's in that match. Do you not understand me? And it's like, ah, oh, and it's once again where I'm going, oh man, that guy, he's terrifying. And I'm actually buying into this being real and that Roman is genuinely pissed off. And it's this happens so infrequently for me when I'm watching wrestling that I just love it.
Yeah. He's so, so good. And like you were saying, the character work across everyone was great. The potential tension between Roman and Jay is great, playing off their feud they had last year. And I think we'll get to the actual, you know, people who qualified later, but the story's there for someone to win the chamber. Roman comes out, goes to just murder them, and they have like a hope spot. They come in and they hit like a finisher, or they go crazy and hit this like really big spot, and everyone goes, oh my God, no way are they going to win. And Roman's going to do a really close near fall kick out, and everyone's going to go, oh, and Roman's going to win. But it will really put over that person in defeat, and I want that person to beat Cesaro, please.
Okay, but how about this?
Okay.
Jey Uso wins. Uh-huh. Roman comes out. Mm-hmm. Uso sort of looks at him for a second and goes, okay. Lies down. Mm-hmm. Roman goes to pin him, but at like 2.5, mm-hmm. Jay kicks out. Jay just lifts his shoulder and goes and just sort of stands up and just sort of like, no, I can't. This isn't me. I can't just lie down. And Roman just intimidates the hell out of him. And then he lies down again and takes the pin. But you can just see his mind going like, oh, I can't. How have I let myself lose like this? I've just spent half an hour battling my heart out, and now I'm just lying down for this guy.
Alternate pitch. I like your first part, where Jay lies down and kicks out. What if he kicks out in the way that Roman does, and low blows him on the kick? And then Roman's like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, I don't know anymore. the whole time. And Roman just kills him. I think that would be cool.
Yeah. I think there are so many ways, but I think that would be my favorite.
That would be very good. I think there's definitely the story there for a star-making performance for a babyface, kind of like in the way that the Gauntlet matches are always booked in WWE. I think there's a potential for someone to win the chamber and then putting a really good showing against Roman, better than they should by any stretch of the imagination put in. Even if the match is only like 3-4 minutes long, them just getting in hope spots and just being like, how are they still fighting? This is crazy kind of thing. Whether that's Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, or someone like that I think that would be amazing. Yeah. But yes, I'm thoroughly excited for that. We got the Seth Rollins video package, as we mentioned before. Then we had Adam Pearce backstage kind of rushing around being like, we need to make some qualifying matches for the Elimination Chamber. Oh God, what do we do? Sonya Deville, being just better at the job than Adam Pearce from the looks of things, has already made a match between Rey and Dominic Mysterio and Sami Zayn and King Corbin. Whichever team wins the tag match, both members go on to qualify for the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Cool. I think it makes sense. The four people that were picked make a lot of sense. I'm perfectly okay with this. Sami Zayn, I guess, not quite so much because he's been losing a lot recently. So that doesn't make as much sense, but it's Sami Zayn, former Intercontinental Champion. Like, you could make an argument for
it,
I think.
They needed a heel, basically, to go up against the Mysterios.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But I think in kayfabe, you could still make an argument for it anyway. And Mysterios make perfect sense against Corbin as well. Mm-hmm. Corbin's been on a winning streak, you know, against Dominic. So, yeah, that makes sense too. And I thought the match itself was pretty fun. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was good.
There was clearly a directive from the producers backstage before the show went, right, whoever can eat the most scenery around the ring gets a pay rise. Or something. I don't know, because Dominic did the most... Oh, it was horrible. He did this suicide dive, and he just ate the announcer's desk. Like,
he did.
Seriously. And then, again, skipping ahead, but late in the night, Liv Morgan dives at Bayley and just eats the barricade, just face first.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised Dominic got up so as quickly as he did, because that looked rough.
Yeah, I mean, thought he was going to stay down, but then they had
Ray
the bit
goes,
where...
Get up, you idiot.
Get up, son. Come on, back in the ring.
Yeah, but it was a good match. Double 6-1, 9 spot, lots of nice little character bits. Ray got Corbin out of the ring because he thought, well, Corbin's the main threat here. And then Sami Zayn just beats Dominic clean, which I thought was a nice bit of storytelling.
Yeah.
And it gives Sami a win. Gives Sami a clean win, which is very rare for Sami.
Haven't seen that in ages.
Like, he hit a blue thunderbomb, and then he hit an exploder, and then he hit a Helluva kick, and it's like, oh, yes.
Good. Nice. And great.
You're shocked that, like, he actually won a clean match. You're like...
He just hit some moves and won.
At some point, he's going to cheat here, surely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he just won, which was great. Yeah, like I said, really good to see a clean win for Sami. I think Sami and Corbin qualifying for the Chamber is good. I think both of them will add something to the Chamber, whether Corbin is just the stereotypical beat down everyone kind of heel, gloat in the faces of the faces that are still in the Chamber kind of thing, in the pods, that kind of thing. He can do that well. He's a big man. We then got Ziggler and Rude backstage, the Dirty Dogs. Are backstage speaking to Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce. And once again, Sonya Deville, just better at the job than Adam Pearce, because they were saying, well, we should qualify for the Elimination Chamber. Both of us, we're tag team champions. Think of how great that would be, have more champions getting involved with the Universal Championship picture, really put over the tag division. We're great. We're the Dirty Dogs and all that stuff. And Sonya said, you know what? That is a good idea. So you can earn your spot by beating the team of Daniel Bryan and Cesaro. And I was like, that's a cool team. I like that. Do more of that.
Yeah. And like immediately you think, Adam Pearce is a dork and Sonya Deville is really good at her job.
Just good at the job. Yeah. 100%.
It makes sense. Like, obviously, so you don't want your tag team champions to just lose like that on a random show, but it makes sense when it's like Cesaro and Daniel Bryan.
We'll talk about that a bit more when we get to the match, because I've got some thoughts, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
As good as she is at her job, I don't really understand why Sonya Deville needs to be doing this.
No, I'm hoping... this is almost certainly just me reading too much into it, but I get the feeling that Adam Pearce is getting so caught up with the whole Roman and Kevin Owens type thing that he's losing sight of the rest of the show and Sonya's picking up the slack, which will turn into a story of Sonya being like, why are you in charge? I'm better than you. Give me the job entirely. Get out of here, Adam Pearce.
Yeah. Or it could be just that we don't know that Sonya's nursing an injury or...
Yeah, 100%.
Or because of everything that happened last year, she's just not quite ready to return to the ring. Obviously, there was all that horrible stuff, which we won't go into, but... Yeah, maybe she just doesn't want to return to the ring quite yet, which is fine. So I wish they'd explained it a bit better at the start, or they'd given it an explanation. Doesn't have to be true, but rather than going, here's Sonya Deville, she's now Adam Pearce's assistant.
Yes, exactly. After that, we got another backstage segment of Reginald is backstage with a glass of champagne.
Mm.
Walks up to Sasha Banks, who's having a chat with Kalisto. Of all people.
I just thought, is that a thing? Have I missed something?
He was there before, right?
He wore a hat.
She was in another backstage segment and Kalisto came in and she was like, hey. And then he walked off. Maybe it's a thing.
This is a great build.
Maybe it's a thing.
Now you've explained it.
Yeah. Reginald then apologizes to Sasha Banks for comments he made last week.
Mm-hmm.
The comments he made last week was that Sasha would beat Bianca Belair.
I'm so sorry for supporting you. I'm a terrible person.
I'm not sure what he has to apologize for. The only person he interrupted was Bianca. It was anytime she talked that he interrupted. What's he apologizing for? Anyway.
Yeah.
He gives her the glass of champagne and she says, oh, so you meant what you said last week then. And he was like, yeah. I was like, so what, are you apologizing? Anyway. He gives her the champagne and he walks off. She returns to her conversation with Kalisto. But then you get the shot of him turning around and like smiling evilly at the camera.
Yeah.
What's happening? What is this feud?
This would have been better if, I don't know, something... had happened. Like, obviously, I don't really want a spiking drink storyline.
No,
but
that's bad.
That felt like that's what they were trying to do. And right. Then, but later in the night, and again, nothing happens to Sasha. So nope. I'm like,
she's totally fine.
So he, maybe, I don't know, maybe he spat in it, or I don't know, maybe he watered it down, or maybe it was non-alcohol. I don't know.
What a heel.
Maybe
that
it was
guy.
Baby sham. I don't know.
Yeah, like, it just, maybe.
It was just that kind of, and then nothing happened.
Yeah. Maybe the evil plan is to get Sasha on side so that
Sasha's
he can
really drunk
do something. I don't know. It was strange. And also, I don't get why Reginald is getting so much screen time.
I
like,
was going to say that.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I think you know his flippy things are cool once in a while, and he's a good right hand person for Carmella. But he should be the right hand person of Carmella. He shouldn't be replacing her in the entire feud. That is stupid. In my humble opinion,
she's disappeared.
What's going on with her? I don't know, man.
It doesn't make sense. You could, because of it, it looks very much like Bianca's going to challenge Sasha, and why wouldn't she? But in the meantime, you need a couple of feuds, so you just need someone to face. I mean, because then there's been that sort of rumors that Rhea Ripley's coming, but you can't have Sasha face Rhea Ripley yet because that would be stupid.
Correct.
So you need
but
someone.
You could have Carmella face Rhea Ripley and have Sasha focus on Bianca.
Yeah. You need Carmella to do something because otherwise it's just, here's Reggie.
Yeah.
And that's the story.
And that's it. That's the entire thing. They've looked at Carmella, the pairing of Carmella and Reginald, and gone,
he's the star.
We like him. Let's push him more. Yeah. Oh, that's really unfair on Carmella, I think. But hey ho. After that, we got Big E coming out to the ring. He says, cuts a promo and says, hey, the Sami Zayn and Apollo Crews chapter of my Intercontinental title run is in the past. I can't wait to move forward. So then Apollo Crews immediately comes out to remind us that it is, in fact, not over. And he said, hey, look, I know what you're going to do. I know you're going to put out an open challenge. So I'm going to accept it. I'm right here. Give me another shot. And Big E was saying, you're right, I was going to do an open challenge. Could be answered by anybody. Anybody except you. We've had your shot. You're not getting it again. We're done. And then the next bit, I was like, okay, this is fine. But then the next bit, I was like, ooh, this is really good. Because they put the microphones down. They just got in each other's faces. And they were just talking to each other. Like, intensely talking to each other in each other's faces. You didn't hear that the first part of what they were saying. But then it got to a bit where they were just like, like you would in a real, like, argument, they were just, like, talking over each other. And Biggie was saying, just go to the back. Just go to catering. Just take a paycheck. You're not getting another shot. We're done. And Apollo was like, no, I won't. Don't tell me to shut up. I'm not going to do that. And it was like, they were just literally, like, talking over each other, just shouting. I was like, this feels real. Like, this feels, like, legit. They're selling it, and I'm buying it. I thought it was really, really effective. Really well done. And just while they're talking, Apollo's still going. Biggie just holds up the mic and just goes, send out my next opponent, like to the people at the back. And Shinsuke Nakamura comes out. And I was like, all right, cool. I can dig that. Great.
Yeah. It's the sort of Biggie's like, no, I've had enough of you, Apollo. Just get out of my face. I want to get on with my title reign. I've proven that I'm good enough to beat you. But it's not like, I don't find Apollo annoying. Because I feel like he could be very easily annoying. We're just going, no, I want another match. But because of the intensity of the both of them, and because they're both working together on it, and it's not Big E going just like, while he was like, I want to face someone else, and he's not showing just complete indifference towards Apollo. He still clearly sees Apollo as a threat because he's sort of so keen to get past him. And that's not a bad thing. You should be being a clever babyface isn't a bad thing at all. Like, you can be aware that, yeah, you've beaten him, but he took you to your limit and like he came close at points to beating you. But yeah, it ended really well. And I'm interested to see sort of what they're going to do with this next, because I still don't think Apollo's going to win, but it's good that they're keeping him relevant and they're not just going, okay, he's done now. You'll see him in 6 months.
Yeah. And I also really like the fact that, you know, normally when you get this kind of story where it's more often than not a heel will lose to a babyface champion and then go, but I want another shot. And the babyface goes, oh, go on then, we'll do another one. And then they have a feud for another 4 weeks and then they fight in the next pay-per-view. The entire story of this one is Biggie being like, please just leave me alone. And they're like acknowledging the fact that Apollo's had several chances and still wants more. And he's being kind of like whiny about it. Yeah. Which I really like, because it's just addressing what's actually happening, which is they're booking Apollo in multiple title shots. That's what they're doing. So just for them to acknowledge that and be like, yeah, Apollo just won't shut up about it. And Biggie is just tired. He cut a really good, there was a network exclusive promo that Biggie did after the show, which was really good, of him just being like, look, I've spoken about Apollo so much. Like, I'm just tired of him. Like, look, don't get me wrong, I think he's very talented and everything, but he's lost. Like, that's it. You've had your chance. Like, please let me carry on. I'm here to like break records with my title reign, and I'm wasting my time on Apollo Crews. Like, I'm sorry, but he's not worthy to lace up my boots right now. He needs to go back to the back of the line, work on himself, and maybe come back later, kind of thing. Really, really good promo. It was Big E just being very kind of like straight laced. He wasn't shouting, doing anything. He was just talking, and it was really, really effective. Really good stuff. So I'm really into this feud. I think it's really good. The Shinsuke match against Big E didn't go too long. It was quite fun for while it lasted, but it didn't go very long. Apollo came in and hit a drop kick on Big E's face to cause the DQ. And then Big E and Apollo looked angrily at each other from the ramp in the ring. I'm into it. I thought this was very good. And another effective use of a DQ loss as well, of Apollo just being like, just let me have a match, Apollo. Come on. It furthers the feud. I like it.
Yeah, and it's a reason, the whole DQ thing, it's just going to piss Big E off, and therefore he'll be like, do you know what, screw this. I know what I said before, but actually, do you know what? I want to beat the F out of this guy. It just makes sense, and that's all you really need from wrestling storylines now, because a lot of the time they don't, and so when they do, it's going like, okay, yeah, whatever, it makes sense, great, awesome.
Exactly, yeah. After that, we got the Seth Rollins return that we spoke about earlier. And then we got Bayley versus Liv Morgan. Obviously, Bayley defeated Ruby Riott last week, so she's facing the other half of the Riott Squad this week in Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan's really good.
Like, Liv Morgan's been great for ages. And
really
just
good.
Never gets a chance to show it. She's one of the most underutilized women on the roster. And I think the biggest issue for her has been that she came up with the Riott Squad, and therefore she's always been, oh, you're in the Riott Squad, you're a tag team women's wrestler, which is worse than being stuck as a men's tag team wrestler, because you're never going to get a singles push, really.
Yeah.
But because she's just sort of been stuck with either Sarah Logan or Ruby Riott, which isn't a bad thing, because Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan are great. Obviously, Sarah Logan's now no longer with the company. She's always also been seen as the second person in the Riott Squad as well, because it's called the Riott Squad rather than the Morgan Squad. She's always been great. And she showed it again last night. And she put everything into it and she ate a barricade.
She did. I disagree that Morgan's always been great, because I've watched her since NXT days.
Yeah, not always.
And I thought she was fine, but needed some work. Hmm. I think since she's changed her gimmick and she had the whole glam thing going on, the wrestling she's actually done since then has been really, really good. And this one, I was like, that's like another step up. Like, she was already good, but this one I was like, man, that's really good from Liv Morgan. I thought this was great.
It's the same thing that happened with Carmella. Like, we didn't see her for a while, and then she comes back, and then they give her 10, 15 minutes to have a wrestling match, and they go, oh, okay, so she is actually good at wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm sure loads of the women's roster is really good at wrestling. We just never get to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when you put someone like Liv Morgan against Bayley, you're going to get a good match, because Bayley's great. Liv Morgan is, as you say, improving all the time. But I don't know whether I still am interested in the whole Billy Kay thing, because it's the same thing every week now. And it still makes me smile because it's Billy Kay and she's funny. But all it's doing is making the Riot Squad look like doofuses because that every single time they get distracted by it and lose.
Yes and no. I thought this distraction finish was done really well. I thought it made
because it was the referee
a lot of sense. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Also, quick side note before we get to the finish of this match, Natalya and Tamina were watching on from backstage
because they're best friends.
Michael Cole then calls them best friends. What? I mean, they're not best friends. There's been no indication of that whatsoever. They literally became a team because Billy Kay didn't want to team with them anymore. That was a whole story, like a little bit ago. Billy Kay teamed with one of them, teamed with the other of them, and then they teamed together. And they've never been seen to be best friends. They fought each other for the number 30 spot for the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
How are they best friends? How the show is, us.
Yeah, on screen, they're not. They might be best friends backstage and stuff like that, but say that. Or like say, oh, well, they've been in the company for the longest. They've known each other for ages. They're really close. But so, and instead of just going, those are two are best friends, like they do with all of the women's pairings. Oh, by the way, these two are best friends. Like apparently yeah. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are probably going to be best friends any day now.
Yeah. it's infuriating because like you say, they do it with loads of other women. And this is a case of show, don't tell. You need to show us that they're actually very close. And because they don't have that much chemistry together, we're not going to see it because they're not best friends. It's infuriating. It's really annoying. And I don't know why it's winding me up so much. I think it's probably because they've done the whole these women are best friends thing for like every woman on the roster now. And it's really tired and boring. Give them proper characters instead of making everything being about friends all the time.
Ugh. Friends.
Exactly. Anyway, that's a side note that went on for way too long. Billy Kay comes out to apologize for costing Ruby the match last week with like all of the resumes in her hands. Ruby Riott tries to ignore it, be like, nope, not the time. Liv Morgan's doing really well and she might win. Please leave me alone. Not the time. Billy Kay goes around to the other side of it. She's like, please stop it. This is not the time. And she goes, no, but look, just look at these. Riott grabs them and in her anger, she kind of yanks them out of her hand and some of them go flying into the ring. The referee then turns around and is like, oh, need to get these out of the ring for, you know, safety. Goes to pick him up, takes him out of the ring. And Bailey, at that chance, when the referee's not looking, jabs Liv Morgan in the eye, manages to hit her facebuster thing, which I always forget the name of, and then wins.
Yes.
Which I thought was fantastic because it wasn't the Riott Squad being stupid. It was Ruby did the right thing of being like, not the time, just leave me alone. And it was Billy Kay's persistence that led to Riott getting so angry that she like accidentally threw some into the ring, which then led to Bailey being smart when the ref wasn't. It just worked. All of the parts, I think, just worked together to make a very solid distraction finish as opposed to last week's, which was a bit pants.
Yes. Yeah, no, like, it really worked. And it could have gone wrong because Ruby could have done the papers and then just none of them landed in the ring. But it was choreographed perfectly. And the thumb to the eye really works for the face buster. Like it's targeting the face still. Bailey was always going to get the win because it's Bailey and it's Liv Morgan. But yeah, like you said, it is really good. But I still don't. I'm still kind of over Billy Kay doing I'm not over Billy Kay doing the whole resume thing. But she's been doing it with the Riott Squad for a long time now, and it just feels like this is going to end in her eventually redeeming herself, and then it's going to be Billy Kay's in the Riott Squad, and then that's it.
Yeah, I'm not too sold on that personally, but hey ho, is what it is. After that, we got Cesaro and Bryan backstage. Cesaro, after being attacked by Seth Rollins earlier, was just like, he can talk about the change that he wants to. Nothing's ever going to change with him. He's the same now, and I'm going to focus. He's been wasting his time. I'm going to focus my time on qualifying for the Elimination Chamber. Street Profits gifted a championship to NASCAR man. I don't know what his name is. I don't NASCAR.
Yeah.
They gave him a championship. And then there was a Street Profits versus Gable and Otis match, which was just a fun match. It was just a fun two babyface teams having babyface fun, good wrestling.
Yeah.
It was a really, really cool start between Gable and Dawkins doing some mat wrestling, led to some really like cool counters, innovative spots. Gable got a lot of wrestling time in this match. Do more of that. He's really good at wrestling, guys. And then Montez Ford hits the frog splash for the win. Really good match.
It's nice to see the profits have stopped trying to bribe everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the win just kind of means that they're still kind of relevant for the tag title scene, because there are really few tag teams now on SmackDown. You basically saw all of them on this show. It was a nice match. And I guess that we'll probably get profits against the dogs on a pre-show at some point soon.
Almost certainly, yes. Sasha Banks then came out to the ring. She danced with the Street Profits for a bit as they were exiting. Came out to the ring, and then she said, like, hey, Bianca Belair is like a little sister to me. And then Bianca Belair came out and said, you're not the boss of me. And then I don't have that much time to talk about this, because I would like to talk about it more, because it really angered me. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler came out. Women's Tag Team Champions, so of course they can float across the brands. But there's only one reason that they were really here, and that's to kill the My Whole joke. That was the entire purpose. They came out, they came to the ring and said, people should be talking about us, not Bianca. She won the Royal Rumble. Who cares about that? Literally everyone in the company, Nia, you idiot. Anyway, and then Sasha Banks says, well, I knew you were coming. How did you know that, Sasha? So I got some footage ready. And it was Naomi pinning Shayna Baszler. And then she said, oh, it wasn't that footage that I had ready. It was actually this one, which was Nia Jax doing the My Whole thing and getting pushed through the table. And then Nia got mad. And then they all beat him up. And then they did the same spot again of Nia Jax. She got chucked and she ended up sitting on the apron. And then she grabbed her ass. And then she looked like she wanted to say My Hole and was trying not to.
She
way to kill the joke.
She hit the hardest part of her ring on the hardest part of the ring.
That's one of your best ones.
Thank you very
You've
much.
Redeemed
Thank
yourself.
You.
That's one of your best ones you've ever done.
That's why I was smiling so much, because I was like, oh, that's actually quite a good joke. This is going to happen on Raw, isn't it, again? And they're going to do it on SmackDown. I wish we had more time to talk about this. Unfortunately, we don't. But good God, I knew this was going to happen and I knew it was going to suck. And it did.
And
get used to this joke, because they've gone, people like that. Let's do it a million times.
They censored it on the YouTube version of the clip and then went, oh God, it's on social media. Social media clicks. We love social media clicks. What are we doing? So let's just keep doing it time after time after time until it isn't funny anymore. And the first time they redid it is already the time it's not funny anymore. It's angered me a lot. Anyway.
Yes.
They killed that joke. Then we got the main event of Rude and Ziggler versus Bryan and Cesaro. Winners qualify for the Chamber. Really fun match. They're all very good at wrestling. And then it's just... I don't know what it is about Cesaro. So I just connect with that man. When he's wrestling, I'm like, I like you. So Ziggler was going for a super kick, and Cesaro gets him up into the torture rack. The same like sequence he did last week, which seems to be coming like a finishing sequence, so to speak, rather than a finishing move. It's like he goes in torture rack, into a backbreaker, into a swing, into the sharpshooter. Ziggler taps. Bryan and Cesaro qualify for the Chamber, but before they can celebrate too much, Jey Uso comes out with a chair and just clonks it straight over Cesaro. Corbin and Zayn were on the ramp watching the main event match. They come down, everyone gets into a brawl, and then, just like Steve Austin in the old days, Kevin Owens' music hits, he runs down to the ring and gives a stunner to everybody. Then gets a chair, sits down in the ring and just says, hey Roman, I'm not done with you. I'm coming for you, etc.
Yeah,
good way to end
it. Yeah, a cool finishing visual. Everyone fighting each other, just kind of hitting their moves. I do wish that Kevin Owens' music had a bit more of like a first note that made you go whoa, rather than because it's not quite the same as the breaking glass stunner. But that's just me.
I feel like that's nitpicking. I really Kevin Owens'
absolutely.
Music.
I get that
sensation when I hear that first opening riff. I do get that, ooh, Kevin Owens kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
but it's when you compare it to Stone Cold, it's just that smash.
I mean, any theme song compared to Stone Cold's theme song is going to be worse.
Edge.
Yeah. Like, You Think You Know Me versus the Glass Smash? Glass Smash is better.
Oh, right. I thought you were just the first note, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's okay, what you're sorry, talking about. The first initial, coming out thing, yeah. Anyway, I really liked this episode overall.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of logical storytelling, a lot of matches that made sense. All of them had stakes, so to speak of. And it was just some really fun wrestling, all in all. Yeah. Some really dumb Nia Jax stuff, but overall, a really good episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it was close to a 3 out of 4. It was close to a 4 out of 4 for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nia Jax happened, and I was like,
and Nia ruined it. Well, it's not Nia's fault. She was told to do it. But,
Nia cracks. But...
The Nia story was terrible. Mm. Not Nia's fault. I want to make that clear.
No, anyway. So yeah, a very good show. But
yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. Before we get out of here today, right, I've got a couple of emails here, Mr. Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one here from Ethan, who's emailed in. We've been asking people to email in about... we had one being embarrassing crush stories, as in stupid stuff you used to do to try and impress someone that you liked. And also we've got stupid stuff you used to do that worked. So we've got one here of the latter from Ethan, who says, good time of day, Pete and Andy. My partner and I became a thing after months of time at her mother's house with my mate. That's right, my partner is my friend's sister. Crazy. I love working on cars and knew my friend's sister knows her way around an engine bay. I spent 3 or more months with banter and jokes for her to invite me to her place for drinks after we'd had Mother's Day lunch. For me to attend the drinks, I had to follow her 30 minutes to the other side of the city and keep up and basically play cat and mouse through the city. We've been together 5 years now with a beautiful little family. Regards, Ethan. Thanks, Ethan.
Do you know your way around her engine bay? Now. See, that's a lovely story.
Which you just ruined.
It's always incredibly risky going after your friend's sibling because they're going to be understandably
protective.
Wary and protective of you. And like, if you have that sort of, I would say lad banter, where you sort of talk about women and stuff, and then you start going after your friend's sister, and he's like, oh, but when we were bantering about women, he said this stuff about women. And what if he thinks that about my sister? It's very dangerous. And so as someone who's previously dated a friend's sister, not for very long, it doesn't go very well. Obviously, this has gone well because it's ended happily. But if it doesn't last, then it can be incredibly awkward with your friend.
I feel like you're just incriminating yourself more than anything. What do you say about women to other men,
no,
Andy?
You
what's
know
so, what's so terrible that you say about women that you can't say in front of women,
no.
Andy?
You know what men are like at the pub. That is what I mean. Men are derogatory.
Like at the pub, respectful to women, because that's what I do.
I don't know. I don't have friends who I go to the pub with, so I wouldn't know. But it's been so long. I've heard that the lads at the pub can be a bit boisterous and interesting with their words. So I don't know. It's just if for example, if I had a sister, which I don't, and then my friend started hitting on her, I'd be like, "Huh, I wouldn't be comfortable with it."
Well, I get the feeling that you wouldn't be comfortable with anyone dating your sister if you had one. I reckon you'd be that kind of brother to be like, hey, listen, you don't treat her right, I will break your face, that kind of thing.
And then they look at me and go, I'd take my chances.
Yeah.
Although now that I'm slowly gaining weight, my punches, I think I've only ever punched one person in my whole life, and that's because he pushed me off a bench.
Nice.
So I feel like he deserved it. Yeah. If you're out there, Ben, you're a knob for pushing me off that bench. I hate you.
Cool. Anyway, we've got another email here. This one is an embarrassing crush story.
Mm.
This one comes in from Devon.
Does this come in from a girl who says, "Oh man, my brother's creepy friend would not stop hitting on me at my own house"?
No. Funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This comes in from Devon. Devan. D-E-V-A-N.
Devon.
Have you pronounced that? Aloha, Chopper and Andy. My embarrassing crush story was back in the sixth grade. So about a week before the last day of school, the girl I liked and I kind of knew liked me back told me she has something important to ask me on the last day of school. Obviously, I couldn't think of anything for the next week. Anyway, the final day of sixth grade comes to an end and she comes up to me and asks me, "Would you go out with anyone?" And I knew what she was asking, but for some reason thought, Well, to go out, my parents are going to need to know, and I don't want to tell them. So my answer to her question was a strong but simple no. It crushed her. And as soon as I said it, I knew I'd fudged it all up. Years later, we actually dated and talked about this, and she said that I really broke her heart that day. But turns out, she plays for the other team, and she's happily married. I'm happily married, so all's well that ends well. Thanks, Devon. That's great. What a great time. I love getting in your own head and just saying something you're like, "Wait, why did I say that?"
That's just classic sixth grade. I hate to always turn these into a personal anecdote, but
all of what you do?
Yes,
everything is a personal anecdote.
I liked a girl. Actually, yeah, it would have been the equivalent of sixth grade, year mm-hmm. nine.
Yeah,
and
is that the conversion rate? Sixth grade is year nine.
I think so.
I get confused between grades.
I always think, well, Bart Simpson was in grade for fourth grade, and he was 10. So,
of course, The Simpsons. The
sixth
fountain
grade,
knowledge.
12. Okay, might have been year 8. And so I like this girl.
Sixth grade is year 7. It's one number off. It's always right. Sixth grade is year 7, etc. Right. Going up.
I liked a girl called Isabel, and obviously, when you're 11, 12, you don't really want to tell people because people tease you and people are like, "Oh, you like her? That means you're going to get married and have babies. Oh, yeah. You held hands. She's pregnant now." That sort of thing. And so it turned out, well, I didn't know this, but she quite liked me too, believe it or not. And so
I don't believe it, but
me neither. She got her friend, also called Isabel, to ask me whether I liked her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Well, obviously I'm gonna say no because you don't. It's not gonna go yeah because then she'll go ha 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 and then everyone will find out." So I said no, and then she went back to her back to other Isabel. Went, "I'm sorry, he said no." And so because you're 12, you go, "Okay, well I don't fancy him anymore," because you do that when you're 12.
Yep.
And then I found out afterwards after she started dating one of my best friends. When I say dating. Going out with, as you do in year 12 when you're 12.
Yeah.
I was devastated because I'd never had a girlfriend before, and I thought that mm-hmm. was my chance. That was my one chance for true love, and I screwed it up.
Yeah.
I'm still.
And it turns out it wasn't.
And she still owes me £10.
Oof.
Because I gave her £10 to buy a T-shirt from New Look.
Mate, you got swindled. You got led along.
I thought that would be much. I thought that would seal the deal,
mate. That in fairness, when you're 12, a tenner is basically a grand.
Yeah, right? That was 2 weeks' pocket money.
Yeah, that's a lot. Wait, 2 weeks? You got £5 a week when you were 10.
Yeah,
or 12, or however old you were.
Yeah, yeah.
Christ, that's a lot. Mm. That's a lot.
Oh yeah, I come from a very wealthy background. I mainly spent it on sweets before school, if you can imagine that.
I can, funnily enough, because you still spend it on sweets now. That's what you do.
Mm.
Yeah. Thanks for the podcast content. That was Andy showing me some jelly tarts.
Oh, that's so good. They're bigger. Have you noticed? They've like
no, because I've
inside.
Not had jelly tarts because I'm not 12.
I mean, look, seriously, you remember how big a jelly tot used to be?
I did used to have a lot of them when I was in year 7, yes.
Look at that. They're like three times the size.
I mean,
it's almost a fruit pastel.
It's true. It is almost a fruit pastel.
It's like a fruit pastel and a jelly tot had a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the opposite of the cream egg effect, because you know the whole cream egg thing where they slowly decrease the size of a cream egg.
Yeah.
And then they Canterbury just flat out denied it. And then someone went, no, look at them next to each other.
You have done this. Yeah.
Yes. And they go, ah, damn it. You found us out. How did you do that? You must be crazy scientists. Mm. Yeah. Speaking of happy love stories, though, congratulations to Carol Wands, one of our biggest fans, who got engaged to her, now fiance, I suppose.
Yeah. Also, Wrestle Talk fan Chris.
Yes.
So thank you.
Oh, is that who it is? Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know. So congratulations to both of those lovely people. Many, many happy
returns.
Happy returns for the future.
Yes.
I hope it goes wonderfully.
Yeah. I think I've got one more email, but it is a long one, and I think we're going to run out of time if I do read it. So let's not. We'll save that for next week. If you guys want to email in any embarrassing crush stories, snack lashes, that's some world problems, anything at all, email in to support@wrestletalk.com, and we may very well read out your emails on the show.
I have one quick note regarding relationships.
Sure.
Is it about
your girlfriend moving a lot in the bed?
No, it is about
that
her.
That seems to be a big talking point.
I think I may have lost her because I introduced her last week to Mario Odyssey. And she has done almost nothing else since. She said to me last night, "This is possibly my favorite game of all time."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, well, I've noticed because she's spending like 4 hours every evening playing it. And and then you call her and I'm like, I tell her all these interesting things about my day. And she's just,
interesting.
Yeah.
In air quotes. Are they like your personal anecdotes that you've been telling on the podcast as well?
Yeah. All similar stuff. She'll tell me something and then I'll go, yeah, that reminds me of a story of myself. Hey, it's an important part of being interesting because you've got to really be able to relate to people with your own personal stories.
Of course, yeah.
That's why I'm so popular. It's why I featured on the thumbnail of last week's Quizlemania.
Exactly. That's exactly the reason why. Yeah, quite right. And on that note, that's all the time we've got for this episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening and checking it out. We've got Elimination Chamber next week. We're going to be doing live reactions to that next Sunday. Obviously, we've got all the podcasts in the interim as well. And then we'll have a review podcast coming on the Monday as well. You can check out the live reactions on the Wrestle Talk podcast YouTube channel. Go check that one out. We'll be doing the live reactions over there. It's also going to be dual streamed at the same time over on the main Wrestle Talk channel as well, which will be the last time anything is dual streamed. And then starting on the Monday after Elimination Chamber on the 22nd, everything will have been divided in the super content shakeup, and we'll have all the podcasts on the WrestleTalk podcast channel. So thanks for listening, everyone. I love you very much. Stay safe out there and take care of each other, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.